I don't know how formal my talk will be, but somehow during the Guru Puja, I had the same experience we used to have in Guru Puja when Srila Prabhupada was present. The atmosphere, the effect of the kirtan. And I was thinking what it is that invokes Srila Prabhupada's presence. Even last night, during the Nisshinga prayers, I also had the same sort of feeling as when we used to sing the Nisshinga prayers when Srila Prabhupada was present. I don't really know the answer to the question, but maybe he manifests himself more according to our desire. Usually when we go to LA for the Prabhupada festivals, we also have the same experience. And I remember when we went for the Prabhupada festival over the Memorial Day weekend last year, some devotees were commenting that in Srila Prabhupada's presence, there were no problems. Sometimes we would think we had problems, and we'd walk into Srila Prabhupada's room and sit down, and he would ask, "So, is everything all right?" And we would say yes, because mystically or magically, everything had become all right. And devotees also commented that in Srila Prabhupada's presence, there would be no question of going anywhere else, because there's no comparison to Srila Prabhupada's presence or association or protection. So we wouldn't really have to make any special effort to, you know, keep devotees with Srila Prabhupada. All we would really have to do would be to invoke Srila Prabhupada's presence, and then naturally they would stay. So when many sincere devotees of Srila Prabhupada come together, I believe he's pleased to manifest himself to us more out of his pleasure. And at least to me, Srila Prabhupada's pleasure is very apparent. All the devotees who have cooperated to celebrate his arrival. As we've often heard, Srila Prabhupada said that our love for him will be shown by how we cooperate. And among the devotees here, there's such a great spirit of cooperation. I can think the only reason is ultimately their love for Srila Prabhupada. And, you know, not only because of their love for Srila Prabhupada do they cooperate for his service, but they have friendships with each other based on, you know, love for Srila Prabhupada and service for Srila Prabhupada, which is really the basis, or at least for us, the proper basis for our relationships with each other. I think Mother Nagapatni has been very instrumental in creating such a wonderful mood of service and Krishna consciousness, and so many other devotees have come to cooperate. Yesterday also we visited Jiti Devidasi, and she made a nice point that about the style of the artwork and the creation of the artwork during Srila Prabhupada's presence. That the style is special and unique to ISKCON. It's not exactly Indian and it's not exactly Western, but it's a self-manifest style that arose out of Srila Prabhupada's desire to present Krishna to the world. Srila Prabhupada often commented that Krishna was known in India, but the people who knew him there kept him locked in a box. And Srila Prabhupada said of himself that, "I have opened the box and taken Krishna out and presented him to the world. Here is God." So he presented Krishna to the world, and one of the media through which he presented Krishna was painting. Another medium was kirtan. And even in kirtan, Srila Prabhupada's devotees created their own style of kirtan. During the Nishuddha Dave prayers yesterday and again during Guru Puja today, I thought of, you know, the kirtans that we used to have. Especially there's like some famous New York kirtans and a very special mood. And devotees who have spent time in India have noticed that our style of kirtan is unique. And that's one of the main attractive features of ISKCON. It's the kirtan style. So we don't really have to imitate anyone. We don't need to go anywhere and we don't need to imitate anyone. And Jiti Prabhu made the other point that the artwork that was done in Srila Prabhupada's presence was somehow blessed by him. She said it was almost as if he sprinkled some magic powder on all the paintings and they came to life. And I think the same could be said of the kirtans. I had a similar experience in relation to the architecture. Because when Srila Prabhupada's Samadhi opened in Mayapur, one of my godbrothers had commented that, you know, it's not really in the Bengali style. And hinted that it should have been in the original, authentic, local style. So some days later, I went on parikrama to Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur's house in Godrumdweep. And upstairs in his house is his bedroom, and then the balcony where he used to chant his japa. So I walked out on the balcony and looked across the Jalangi River, as we imagined he might have. And we looked at Srila Prabhupada's Pushpa Samadhi there. And imagine what Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur, I don't know, imagined or sensed or whatever, what his vision of the samadhi would have been. And the impression I got was that he was very pleased with it, and that he was pleased that it was in its own unique style, because his desire was that Krishna consciousness should spread all over the world, as Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's desire also was, that Krishna consciousness should spread to every town and village of every country of the world, and people should become Krishna conscious. So I felt that he was pleased with the samadhi because it was the emblem of Krishna consciousness spreading throughout the world, and the emblem of the combined efforts of devotees of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu from all over the world to glorify the person who brought Krishna consciousness to them. And again, from his perspective, I thought he wasn't really thinking about all the little details that went into the creation of the samadhi, you know, all the little troubles we have. I mean, I'm sure he appreciates the troubles we took, but... And even amongst ourselves, we have our little differences. But, you know, from the point of view of Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur, he just saw the result. It was like a magnificent creation. And that we had all somehow worked together to do it. And that he was pleased with all of us collectively and would bless us all. And I thought of Srila Prabhupada's statement to us when we were in Calcutta, that, you know, if we build this temple in Mayapur, Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur will personally come and take us all back to Godhead. So from our point of view on the ground level, we may see our problems as somewhat big, even overwhelming. But, you know, from the point of view of Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur, you know, the problems are just sort of obstacles that we have to overcome in the course of devotional service. And what's really important is the service, and it's the service that pleases him. And all of the acharyas And, you know, it's the service that we perform in spite of all the difficulties that come in the material world that sort of gets us their blessings. So there's something special, I think, about Vaisalya and the devotees here. I think any devotee that continues in Krishna consciousness for 30 years is bound to have overcome many obstacles and passed many tests. And, you know, sort of proven their sincerity to Srila Prabhupada. And when such devotees come together, I believe Srila Prabhupada's pleasure increases, and out of his pleasure he manifests himself more. So, here we are, together, like we always used to be, at Srila Prabhupada's lotus feet, absorbed in thoughts of him and his service and his pleasure. And we really don't have anything else to aspire for. Recently one devotee told me about someone who had asked Srila Prabhupada that we're supposed to think of Krishna at the time of death, but what if we think of you, Srila Prabhupada, at the time of death? What will be the result? Will we get the same result? And Srila Prabhupada said, yes. So, we don't really require a very complicated or intricate or esoteric process. We can just follow the simple process that Srila Prabhupada gave us. Chanting, dancing, feasting, and philosophy, as he gave them to us, and be absorbed, you know, in a very simple way, you know, simple and pure-hearted, as generally the movement was in the earlier days. And, you know, we'll get the result that Srila Prabhupada promised us we would get. That is to live with him and Krishna eternally. So it's encouraging to get together with all of you. And I pray that we continue to do so until the end. And when I say the end, there is no end, but what may be the end in terms of our present earthly existence. And I don't think we need anything else. Hare Krishna. Sri Prahlad, would you like to say something?
What you have said is perfect and complete.
Well, I did have one other impression from Guru Puja, which, you know, may have direct relevance to us or not, to different degrees, but it was how Srila Prabhupada really wanted his books to be distributed. I think book distribution is also one of the special features of ISKCON. We know that Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur wanted it, but Srila Prabhupada actually implemented it. And somehow in the mood of Guru Puja, it was just part of Guru Puja that Prabhupada wanted his books to be distributed. And that also lends a certain vitality to ISKCON, a special vitality. And there are different ways. I believe the first service that I did that Srila Prabhupada, well, I'm not completely sure about that, but I think it was the first service I did that Srila Prabhupada became aware of, was that I took his books to sell to the bookstores in the Boston area. And up until then, the only other devotee who'd really sold Srila Prabhupada's books in bookstores was Brahmananda Prabhu in New York. And he was like a legend, you know, like a legend. So here I was, like a completely new devotee. And I think one of the first stores I went to was the Harvard Co-op in Cambridge. And they took like a huge order, like I couldn't believe it, you know. And in those days we just had like the old Gita, the old teachings of Lord Chaitanya, and they took like so many books, and I was like, I was surprised and pleased, and I sort of systematically went around to the different bookstores. Remember there was one on Newberry Street. Sort of, not that big, but it's sort of classy area. And people took books. And I guess maybe Satsarupa Maharaj or Srila Prabhupada, he was aware. And it was like the first service that he knew that I personally did for him. So book distribution doesn't necessarily mean, you know, on the streets or in the airport. It includes those places, but it can also include other approaches. In one letter to me, Srila Prabhupada, oh no, it was in a conversation with me. He asked me to have his books introduced in the universities. So there are many ways that we can do it. And Jyoti Prabhu also mentioned that there are New Age stores. They have huge selections of books, even many editions of Bhagavad Gita, but no Bhagavad Gita as it is. So I guess I'm sort of reminding myself of my dharma, A few years ago, I spoke with Yogeshwar Prabhu about it. He had a plan, because he said, now it's like, you can go into a store, an individual can go into a store, like Prabhupada did when he arrived in New York. But he said, now they're like large distributors, and they distribute, you know, in huge quantities, and so he was going to try that. But for some reason he couldn't succeed with them. Because later I phoned him back and asked what happened, and so I don't remember the details, but somehow it didn't work. But we can do it the other way. It's not that they won't buy from you if you walk in, it's just a more sort of personal approach, like a few at a time, like Prabhupada did. So I think maybe I'll work on that some more again. But that's important. No, that's important. We might have been over enthusiastic or over zealous in the way we did it at times, but the fact remains that Srila Prabhupada wanted it, and many people have come to Krishna consciousness from his books. Many have had their first association with our philosophy through Srila Prabhupada's books. And after they begin the process of Krishna consciousness, they continue to take guidance. We continue to take guidance from Srila Prabhupada's books. So his books are important. And of course the holy name. When I read the last verse in Srila Prabhupada's poem or prayer marking Bhagavata Dharma, and he said, that he has strong faith in the holy name of Krishna, and then I related the story of how Akinchana Krishna Das Babaji Maharaj was chanting during Prabhupada's sannyas initiation, and like the priest said, doing my mantras and yoga. And Prabhupada motioned, like, keep chanting, keep chanting. So I was thinking that there's actually a deep message there. Yes, Prabhupada had full faith in the holy name, and that just by chanting the holy name, we would get everything. And again, that we don't really need any, like, very complicated or intricate or esoteric process. I mean, from one point of view, even doing a fire ceremony and chanting mantras and offering ghee, sort of a little exclusive, And then there's so many other practices and ideas that are exclusive. But Srila Prabhupada was inclusive, Just chant Hare Krishna. Anyone can chant Hare Krishna and follow the regulative principles, and you'll get the result. And I think that was Prabhupada's mood, and that mood is very rare. And I'm also pleased to see that Prabhupada's mood is sort of confirmed in Brihad Bhagavatamrita by Srila Sanatana Goswami, where he also says the same thing, that just by chanting the holy name, one can achieve the highest perfection. And Srila Sanatana Goswami's mood is also very much like that. It's open to anyone and everyone. Anyone and everyone can do it. And it's not like there's no special mystique or special exclusive group only that can do it, but anyone can do it and get the same result. So there's been so many speculations about Srila Prabhupada. I heard one theory that Srila Prabhupada was empowered, but I get, the theory is like he was empowered on the boat coming to America, with the implication that before then he wasn't empowered. And once, I don't know how it came up, but Srila Prabhupada asked me to read from the first canto. I think he was making a point about the modern civilization, how hellish it was, especially in contrast to the Vedic civilization, you know, where the cows were so happy that they were wetting the earth with the overflow from their milk bags. And so I read it, and Srila Prabhupada said that, you know, he wrote this before he came to America, and he said that he's, you know, he said about himself, I'm speaking the same message, I haven't changed anything. So I think his message in Srimad Bhagavatam, his faith in the holy name, they were there all along. And you know, that those that was Prabhupada, that is Prabhupada. So he didn't really change. I mean, he tried things, you know. He tried different types of applications, but the basic philosophy, of course, and even the basic approach remained the same. And so we also remain the same. Just take what he gave us, protect it, and nurture it, and cherish it, and we also remain the same. And we also reach the same destination. So thank you all again for your hospitality, hard work, love and devotion, and good prasadam, everything else that makes Vaisalya so dear to so many devotees. I'd also like to thank Sri Prahlad for accompanying us and showing us how the next generation can take up the philosophy and practices and like when you gave the first class here on Friday morning, I was feeling like some of the Hindu gentlemen that I would meet in India would like look at us like, you know, like we're more Vedic than they are, and sort of like, you know, father, grandfather seeing the youngster, like, you know, chanting the shlokas and speaking the philosophy and dressing, you know, the way Vaishnavas dress, traditional Vaishnavas dress. And I thought it must be very encouraging for us elders to see the younger generation becoming so proficient in Krishna consciousness. And speaking with so much faith and conviction. I mean, of course, one thing that impressed us all about Srila Prabhupada was how much faith he had in the Vedic scriptures. You know, there was just no question of any doubt. And then later we got the idea that, well, he had direct realization of Krishna, so of course he had no doubt. But hearing Sri Prahlad speak, I got the sense that he also had faith in the Vedic scripture. You know, maybe he hasn't, I don't know, but whether he has or hasn't, but he has faith in the Vedic scriptures. He has faith in what he's saying, his faith in the Srimad Bhagavatam, and that makes us have faith. You know, when we go into the world and, you know, discuss with people, and it's even more pronounced in academia, you know, we hear their points of view, which is, you know, can be quite critical of our simple faith, or at least skeptical. So it's like very refreshing to, you know, hear someone speak with, you know, so much faith. So,
Maharaj, we also want to thank you so much for using us to raise such deep dive in mercy. And we really appreciate you bringing truth alive.
Rajpriya, Radhi Cup. So it's reciprocal. It's like Srila Prabhupada received a letter from a disciple, and the disciple wrote, you know, I cannot live without your mercy. I mean, I'm judging he wrote that from Prabhupada's reply. And Srila Prabhupada wrote back, you cannot live without my mercy, and I cannot live without your mercy. It is reciprocal. And he said, this mutual reciprocation is based on love, - Krishna consciousness. Srila Prabhupada ki jai, Gaur Bhaktavinda ki jai, Jai Gaur Premanandi.